Coming up on this episode of All About Android, we discuss an early Android Q build that's floating around in the wild. Also, extending your device life with something called Post-Market OS. The return, the triumphant return of the Motorola Razr, that foldable, flippable phone. And Chris Lacey has a new app. It's called Action Dash. We talk all about that, read some of your emails and more next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Calm, the number one app to help you meditate, sleep, and relax. Start 2019 off right with Calm. For a limited time, get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android episode number 404, recorded on Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And hello to everyone watching and listening, and to my wonderful hosts. I feel like on episode 404 of any show, you have to make the joke, podcast episode not found or something along those lines.
Sorry, I'm not here, 404, error.
Exactly.
I was expecting the doc to be missing today, to be honest.
Who knows? Maybe the show notes won't appear on the page. It'll be an empty link. Joining us once again has been quite a while, actually, and it makes perfect sense to get him on today. Chris Lacey, he is the developer of Action Launcher. Also, Link Bubble, if you remember from 5 years ago. Link Bubble was a big hit. And coming out with a new app, first new app in 5 years, Action Dash. How you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's always great to get you on. So you are in the summertime, whereas we are in the wintertime. What's it like in the summer right now? What's it like in the future?
It's hot and muggy. So I think it's 32 degrees Celsius, which is, I don't know, 90-odd.
Yeah.
Fahrenheit, but it's the stickiness, the humidity that really gets me.
Yeah, still, I'm very envious because over here in the winter, we're dealing with like colds and flus and yuckiness. And I would rather have, what you got. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I get to go to the beach on the weekend, so I'm not complaining.
No one's bragging a little bit over there. Chris, it's great to get you on. Really appreciate you taking time out today. And we are going, I promise, to talk about your new app, Action Dash, which I have installed. I'll show it off a little bit later in the show. But you're also going to kind of hang out and talk about some of the news, of which there seems to be a lot of news. So why don't we just kind of kick things off and jump right into it? Let's get to the news.
This bumper had a dark mode before it was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Android news.
That's true.
This bumper's true, like, actually.
This 100%. Bumper celebrates dark mode.
It's true.
Right on. Good work, Victor.
So, while I've been tracking down a replacement unit for my Pixel Stand, more on that at a later time, XDA has been picking apart Android Q. Yes, we're already at that point, and this is what, the third week in the new year, the fourth week?
Keeps creeping back.
Let's go down
further and further, it seems like.
Yeah, let's go down some of the list of what XDA has discovered, and then, you know, and then we can opine. So firsthand, we've got support for that alluded system-wide dark theming, so you can set a dark mode in the settings, and those of us with very sensitive eyes are definitely going to appreciate this, because this will turn the entire UI into a dark mode so that you'll be able to use it at any time of day with the background darked out.
Burning cornea.
Exactly. It really is quite more comfortable for the eyes and also much better on the battery.
Yeah.
Another option will also force dark mode even in apps that don't support dark mode. So that's going to be an interesting implementation. And I'm going to love hearing how that is going to happen. Also, big permissions revamp, including restricting a permission to only while the app is in use. So, you know, if maybe you need something to run in the background, that can take place. The redesign of the permission settings is to help make it easier to understand in some ways, kind of mimicking the way the digital well-being works. And a developer setting called Force Desktop Mode was also found, which, again, who can tell at this point what that's supposed to do? There's also accessibility options to set how long to read or take an action on messages that are shown by supporting apps. So kind of lets you be able to keep those notifications around without them going away forever. At least this is what I'm... I don't know what's coming in Android Q. All this stuff is just...
I mean, this is super early build. This was not meant to be seen by anyone outside of Google.
Well, I don't know about... I wouldn't say super early. I would if you look at history, last year's Android P preview dropped on the first week of March, and I'm pretty sure it was the same the year before. So we're not far away from there. We're only 6 weeks away. And when you speak with Googlers, like even last year at I.O., obviously, they were talking about Android P's features and what's new in there. But they were really saying, look, if you find bugs, and this was in May, Pi didn't end up releasing until I think August. They were really saying, if you find bugs, you've got to tell us now because Pi is basically done.
Pi is baked.
That's right. There you go. But we're all moving on to Q. So Q's been in development for a good long while, and if they go to history, then there'll be a public announcement of it in 6 weeks. So
that's true. 6 weeks. So that's not too far off.
You put it in terms of weeks, and that changes things a little bit, Chris.
It does, actually.
it does, yeah. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think we can take this leak as being the only contents of you. Certainly there's precedent for Google holding back other features to announce at I.O. and that sort of stuff. These features certainly all seem a pretty good lock, and definitely in keeping with Google in the last year, like especially the permission revamp. Google had their Project Strobe, I think the initiative was called, where they went and looked at permissions all across Google's suite of products, and I think it's certainly a very good thing that permissions have been revamped further in Android.
I had the same reaction to running down this list, Chris. Like seeing all the talk about dark themes that we've seen, all the talk about permissions and notification stuff. Knowing what's been going on with desktop over at Samsung, and even what they've been doing with their own tablet. None of these triggered to me as like far fetched. These all seemed in line with the progression Android has been going in.
Yeah. And I really like the idea of setting permissions only when an app is in use. So in other words, I'm using an app and I want to share my notification. Yes, I grant my location, grant that permission, but only for right now. Have it be a temporary thing. That way the app doesn't have access to my location 100% of the time. It only has it for this session. And then the second I close it, it reverts to not granting that permission. I think that's a really big step. I would like that a lot.
I just wanted to quickly highlight the one of the unfortunate things that was found to come with Android Q, which is more restrictions for carriers, or rather the ability for carriers to implement more restrictions on your SIM. Basically, where you could take a phone, what carrier phone could work on, which sounds really restricting and frustrating. It's just, I believe something like that probably has to do with MVNOs or something of the sort. But the sound of it feels already very anti-consumer. This could also maybe change things for dual SIM devices. So, dark mode, yay. Other things, maybe not so much.
let's not judge that yet, right?
And true, exactly.
And it's very easy for a clickbaity headline like our friends over at Android Police did to say, Android Q will allow your evil carrier to lock down your phone. Like, we don't know exactly what it's going to be. You got to imagine that there's a significant portion of carrier appeasement that has to happen in the negotiation of getting the phones in the stores and things like that. it's curious what this will be, but you know, that's the balance we're always playing, and that you are the consumer, you can then decide what carrier you want to use based on those restrictions. So
absolutely.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But so anything else on Android Q, or are we?
No, I think you've got the other story of the day, or, yeah, so or I'm not, maybe just the week.
One thing before moving on from Android Q, I would hope, I don't, it, from what we've seen, I mean, this is a pretty unprecedented leak, which is pretty exciting
in it
of itself. But one thing that I've really wanted, you know, for the longest time, not even just as a developer, but to see in Android is a sort of a theme engine, whereby if you think of it, so that carriers no longer, they don't need to modify anywhere near as much system code, they can just design their own theme. And, you know, in theory, that should make updates come easier and that sort of stuff. I would love it if Dark Theme was a part of that. It seems like they're separate, but gosh, it would be nice if they were the same.
Kind
if they're
like in the same a area stepping there. Stone towards that, possibly so. If there's a system wide Dark Theme, although Google's done a lot of work with its own apps to build Dark Theme into the apps, I'm wondering if the switch inside the system is going to interact with their own apps to say, "Oh, you switched on Dark Theme mode." Then these apps that are our apps that we've built in support for it will now operate in their own individual dark theme modes. Like, I wonder if that will work too. And if so, theming might be more complicated, but
I mean, we'll find out. And one other thing that I feel I have to add on the permissions side is I've had like an unwritten blog post for about 3 years on what a mess I feel like the permission UI is on Android. Like, if you think about it, there's the standard permissions like contacts and location where an app requests it and then a system dialog pops up. That's fine. But then there are so many other actual little areas of permissions throughout the system that just have completely different UI. Like, for instance, if you want to grant an app access to read your notifications, you have to go like dig deep into the system settings. And it's similar to request the usage statistics, which my new app uses. There's things like granting a launcher permission to place a widget. That's just like a random pop-up dialogue that you really have to dig into like an app info page to ever revoke. And similar with even setting like the default camera app or something. Mm-hmm. I really hope they're looking not just at changing the main permission UI, but looking at the permission UI across the system as a whole and making that more uniform. But we shall see, I guess.
Yep. Absolutely. In mere weeks, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Don't forget how short February is, man. That's going to sneak up on us.
Totally.
So, so in with the new with Android Q and out with the old with Google Hangouts. It was funny because I have about five or six domains on Google on the Google App Suite. And so today I just got inundated with email one after another to each account, basically with Google unleashing their official plans for transitioning the G Suite Hangouts to the next generation of Hangouts Suite. So how this transition is going to happen is on April 16th, Google will push G Suite administrators towards transitioning their users to Hangouts Chat. From April to September, features ported from Hangouts to Chat. And those features include integration with Gmail, chatting with external users, an improved video calling experience, and making calls to Google Voice. And in October, the classic Hangouts begins its life of retirement. It's going to go down to Palm Beach. It's going to Del Boca Vista and just chill out. So all of this applies to G Suite users. So if you are on a domain that is using the G Suite of apps, so if you have a custom domain and you're using Gmail through that domain, this is who it applies to. This does not apply to consumer users of Hangouts. This transition will take place after the G Suite users have moved over, and that timeline is to be announced. So someone like me, where my personal email at RonXO is powered by Google, the Hangouts in that thing is going to be transitioned. If you're just using Hangouts with your average Gmail, that's going to happen after G Suite. I got to imagine it's going to be later this year, maybe even early next year.
Yeah, probably
next year.
But
it's starting.
This is like the opposite of tearing off a Band-Aid.
This is a very slow really march. to the cliff where it's just going to jump off. So.
Walking very slowly, tiptoeing to the cliff, and I don't even know how I actually feel about it, to be honest. Like, do I want them to just tear off the Band-Aid, or do I want it to dry out? Because, like, I was using your app, Chris, and Hangouts is like one of my most used apps, apparently, because I, you know, that's the app that I chat with, that I use for SMS. Even though on my system, on my OS, I have Android Messages set as my default. So still these things are coming into Hangouts, and I end up using Hangouts more than Android Messages. Anyways, point being, I'm still using it plenty. So apparently I want it to stick around for as long as possible. But kind of a confusing timeline, though. We really aren't any closer. It's going to be a while.
And it's also not affecting. I mean, it's funny because this news is breaking. I feel bad where anybody listening is, you know, if you're a Hangouts user, you're probably freaking out. It only applies if you're using it within G Suite.
Right,
so it's only if you're using a custom domain with the Google apps through that custom domain. If you're on average Gmail, this isn't going to affect you. So that's the key thing.
Right.
But it's coming.
Stay tuned for that. Have you guys ever heard of Post-Market OS? I'd never heard of this before.
No.
Today.
I feel like I heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
Sounds really interesting. So the goal of this is to bring a 10-year life cycle to phones, which seems crazy, right? It's aimed at mostly old Android devices, but it's really just designed for repurposing your old devices. It's driven. The people who are working on Post-Market OS are basically building around a real desktop class Linux distribution. It's created by the Post-Market OS team. The goal, they say, in doing this is to hopefully avoid fragmentation by kind of unifying the OS so that updates can be pushed to all the devices, no matter the make or the model of the phone that it's installed on, just like a traditional Linux distros. And, it's proof of concept. I think they hit their 600 day mark. So they're working hard on like trying to move out of this proof of concept phase and into actual development to make this a reality. But they have a binary package repository, where you can go to find and install packages per device. Apparently it boots on 112 devices currently. And it's all about kind of turning those phones that may just be sitting in your drawers. Unused, turning those into usable phones again someday.
Can I bring my Nexus One back to life?
Possibly so. I haven't looked at the actual supported devices at this point. And by supported, really all that means is boots on. I don't know if it boots on those devices. I don't know how fully featured those devices would be, but I appreciate the reason behind this. What do you guys think?
One thing that comes to mind there is I, for the longest time, had my Nexus S. I've still got it here for testing.
Awesome.
But nice. It reached the point where it could no longer apply app updates to Google's apps. Even if this device had absolutely no other third-party software on it, just the ever-growing size, APK size of Google's apps going up and up and up and up.
The file size, yeah.
Yeah, meant it so that apps could the device literally got full and couldn't get updates anymore. But since then Google have started splitting APKs up a bit so that in the old days my low res device would still receive the high res images for a Galaxy S9. That's generally no longer the case. So that would certainly improve there, but. It definitely came to mind that on those old devices, storage would be at a real premium, and how that would jive with the realities of APK sizes today,
and the way that we use our phones today. Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, what's being installed on here would not be Android. It's basically all about taking these old Android devices and then repurposing them into new devices that are running a Linux distro that is not Android. But you're right. You go back far enough in time and our devices had a very paltry, 512 megs or a gigs of storage, or it was pretty small back in the olden days of Android. So it's amazing to think that anything could be done with those in today's kind of use cases. But
so I dropped the link to their wiki page that lists all the devices that boot on it.
Uh-huh.
And so the bad news is the Nexus One is not listed, but the good news is that Google Glass.
Oh, good.
The Echo Lay 2, some real hits. Do you remember the Ouya gaming system?
The Ouya gaming system. Yeah, bring that back
to life. Phone on there. Next Bit Robin.
Samsung Galaxy S2.
A lot of the galaxies.
Yeah.
I could. The Nexus 5 is on here. I could continue using my lovely Nexus 5 that I love in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
So, but it definitely stops. I feel like this looks as if maybe like 4, maybe 5 years. Anything beyond that seems too old.
Yeah.
But
still lofty.
Yeah. Nexus 7. They support the Nexus 7.
Yep.
Which by the way, codenamed Asus Flow.
The Nexus 4 seems to be the oldest Nexus that it supports.
Yeah, the Nexus 4 is on there.
So the Guatcher. The LG Guatcher.
Watcher's on there. Good.
Is Galaxy Nexus on there?
Yeah, Galaxy Nexus is on there.
Oh, look at that. I think that's the oldest one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you
Crazy.
Go. Yeah. So then, Chris, you're using the Nexus S to test your apps on? Or are you even able to do that?
Well, it's still... I had to use it recently because as part of Project Strobe, the permissions initiative, I actually had to go back and issue a new Action Launcher update for Android 4.x users, which I changed Action Launcher to require Lollipop and later last year. But I had to go back to comply with this initiative. So I was still using it for testing only a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. That's awesome. I love it. But see, if anything, just send your old phones to developers. They could put it to some really good use. Flo, you got the email.
We've got an email. So this one comes in from Doug. Doug writes, I just wanted to thank you for your timely review on All About Android prior to the holidays for the Huawei Band 3 Pro all-in-one activity tracker. That was that tan smartwatch that I had brought in it was about $80 from Huawei. I was debating on what to get my wife for Christmas with just a short time before the holidays. And after a review on AAA, I immediately ordered a Quicksand Gold for her and a Space Blue for me. It's from Santa after all. My wife did a triathlon for the first time last year and she loved it. And I wanted to support her in doing more. My wife and I and our two sons are a Google household. I lost my place.
That's okay.
We are a Google household. We have Chromecast, 2 Google Homes, 2 Google Home Minis, 2 Chromecasts, 3 Google Wi-Fi spots, and she has the Pixel 1 and I have a Pixel 3 XL, both on Google Fi. And as such, we have done the herd conformity of our friends who have Apple Watches. So, in conclusion, your recommendation of the Huawei Band 3 Pro was perfectly timed. She opened the gift, loved it, and has been wearing it ever since, as have I. Also, she is a swimmer, which she loves using it for. So I just wanted to thank you for that. Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. Thank you, Doug. Thank you. And I'm also really looking forward to finally using it this summer in the community pool. And when I do, I will be back. Also, just as a side note for everyone out there, I'm still looking at other smartwatches and bands in this price category because I would like to find something that is worth wearing for this price because I don't like what I see for $300 or $200 or $150.
Yeah.
And that's where I am on that.
Fair.
Totally fair.
That's where I am on that. Thank you.
Thanks for writing in, Doug. And I'm happy that worked out for you. That is awesome. All right, so we're going to take a break. Victor, I'm just going to give you the heads up. When we come out of the break, we're actually going to go into apps and not hardware. We're going to change around things because why not make the show more difficult for you? And I'm sorry, but there's a reason because we want to talk to Chris Lacey about his app before he has to leave a little bit later. So, but first, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Calm. Did you know that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February? So those resolutions are about to fail in mere days from now. Even if your 2019 got off to a rocky start, each new day actually brings an opportunity to start again. It's never too late. You can establish new habits that support your happiest, healthiest self. And that's why we're excited to partner with Calm, the number one app to help you meditate, sleep, and relax. I'm a huge fan of meditation. 2018 was my year where I really got into meditating on a daily basis every morning, and I've been using Calm. It is wonderful. It was actually named App of the Year by Apple in 2017. It was part of Apple's Best of 2018 list. If you head to calm.com/allaboutandroid, you're going to get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programs, including guided meditations. You've got issues like anxiety, stress, and focus. If you want to improve your focus, you can do that. You can see all the different types of guided meditations in here. There's just tons of topics that you can dive into. There's also sleep stories, which are bedtime stories for adults. They're designed to help you relax before you happen to doze off. You can set this, close your eyes, meditate around what you're hearing, and you'll be surprised how quickly you nod off. If you have a hard time sleeping, it's a great thing to do. You can head to the Lavender Fields of France with Stephen Fry, or explore New Zealand with Jerome Flynn from Game of Thrones. Bob Ross is even in there too. There's soothing music. If you just want to meditate to music or soundscapes, you want something that's a little bit less of a guided meditation and something more where you can drive it yourself and you just have some music or a sound bed to kind of put you there, you can do that here. Breathing exercises, gentle stretches to relax your body, and a whole lot more. It's just a wonderful app, and you got to check it out. It's really well designed. Every day they have something called the Daily Calm, which is kind of like a short guided meditation on a particular topic. So you might dive in you can hear a little bit of it there.
As you breathe in.
So it'll help you kind of relax. It'll guide you through it. If you need a little bit of that kind of walking through the experience, you can get that here as well. For a limited time, All About Android listeners get 25% off of a Calm premium subscription. Just go to calm.com/allaboutandroid. That's calm.com/allaboutandroid. You'll get unlimited access to all of Calm's content today. And give yourself the gift of calm and a happy and healthy 2019. That's calm.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Calm for their support. All right. And with the switcheroo, it's time for apps.
A nice segue after that very calming ad.
I know.
I'm so relaxed right now, which is good.
Don't fall asleep, Ron.
I don't want to fall asleep. I want to wake up because, Chris, I want to hear all about your new app. This is your first new app in 5 years. Tell us about Action Dash.
Please.
Well, yes, it is. I haven't been sleeping for 5 years, I should say. Action Launcher has been my focus during that time. But
you're busy with Action Launcher.
Yeah,
but yes, Action Dash, it is my first new app in 5 years. It's actually if you would believe it, I had the idea for Action Dash before LinkBubble. This was something I was because it always piqued my interest when you'd watch, like Google and Apple's keynotes, and they'd come on and say, we use our phones 70 times a day and that sort of stuff. And it just struck me as, I wonder how many times I actually use my phone. So this was something that I started playing with, a long time ago, and then Google actually changed their APIs so that you couldn't the way I prototyped it no longer worked as of Android 5, and they added a new set of APIs. But anyway, long story short, I kind of shelved it and focused on LinkBubble and then Action Launcher. And then last year, in a big way, both Google and Apple had big initiatives as far as making users aware of how much time we're spending on these devices. And honestly, I felt a bit down for a while because I thought I'd missed the boat. But then I realized, well, hang on, like Google's initiative only works on Pixel phones. And then I feel it's very similar to the launcher space, where Action Launcher takes Google's launcher and offers the same features to everyone and then tries to make it better. I should be able to do a very similar thing with in the wellness space. So that's so Action Dash was I've been sort of really focusing on Action Dash development for certainly the latter part of last year, and that's what the app tries to be. It tries to give you as many visual insights into how we use our phones so that you can, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a situation where you are wanting to cut down. It can just be you're just curious more than anything. So, yeah, Action Dash aims to visualize how you use your device, basically.
Cool.
And I can jump in on a per app basis. And, yeah, it's very interactive. Like, I love all of the different kind of modes and methods that you can go into. Definitely a little bit of similarity in some ways with digital well-being, because that was the thing that everybody's kind of gotten used to. But obviously with Action Dash, this is a lot of that. I feel like there's a little bit more in the terms of granularity, a lot more. Like I love going to the unlock and seeing Saturday that I only had 32 unlocks. That's a great number for me.
Good for you.
I know. 50 on Friday, 25. Dang, I'm doing good. I'm not unlocking my phone for nothing.
I'm proud of you, Jason.
Good job.
I'm not doing it for nothing, man.
I'm afraid to install this.
I know, me too.
Yeah, it's good though. I love the visualization that you get, like seeing something, being able to tap into it and get some breakdown on how long you spend inside of those apps. You can learn a lot about yourself by analyzing how you use your phone. Seems like a great way to do it.
Well, certainly in my case, when the app first came online, I was probably using my phone for 3.5 hours a day, something like that. But just by becoming a lot more aware of it, that's cut way down. Like I'm usually not that much more over an hour a day now, and and certainly in particular, certain apps have suffered. Jason, you've mentioned you're on your Facebook cull. I rarely check Facebook anymore, and my Instagram used to take up a lot of time, and now I only use it to post photos of the kids, and I just need to find a better spot for that. It's just been really eye-opening to me because you get to the end of the week and you're like, okay, if I could replay that week, you know, I spent, you know, 3 hours on Twitter. Is that an effective use? Like, if I had that 3 hours again,
right?
It's not an effective use.
There you go. Yeah. So the app really does not try to preach or enforce hard limits or anything like that. I mean, there may be features that come down the line as far as if users want to set limits and that sort of stuff. And there's a few different ways that could be achieved, which I'm still pondering. But at the moment, I just find it so fascinating just to find out how much I use the device and just being really conscious of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet now you have a free version and then you have a premium version, right? What exactly do you get when you pony up for the premium version?
Well, there's the one version of the app, but there's a one-time app purchase. But to be honest, I've spent the vast majority of my time using the non-premium version in testing. I really feel like it offers a very complete experience, more so than my apps traditionally have done, which have really tried to push people to buy the upgrade. Now the Plus upgrade definitely gets you some features. Certainly the dark mode is a premium feature, being able to jump back more than 7 days in your history. There's a cool feature so that if you're a night owl, which I'm not, I should add, I am the opposite of a night owl. I am a whatever is in
you're
bed
a day
by
owl.
8:15. But if you traditionally go to bed at 2 a.m. or something, then you can set the end of the day to 3 a.m. so that way those stats from midnight to 2 a.m. going to yesterday. So like you wake up and you're already, you know, at an hour and a half usage. There's, you know, a few more power user features like that and you get access to some more sort of statistics and graphs. So there's definitely you know, reason to upgrade. But at the same time, if you just want to get an overview of how your usage was this week and use the daily reminder that comes in every day at whatever time you like, giving you a quick overview of your usage, you can use that without paying anything. So it's entirely what people want from the app.
Yeah, love it. Really well designed, which is no surprise coming from you because your apps always look wonderful. Like, they're very thoughtfully designed, and everything flows, nice animations. You know, it's enjoyable to use. So really great job.
I do think the app achieves that. I think it's worth mentioning that's I feel like, as someone who's released a few apps over the years, like this one, I feel like it was in a releasable state compared to basically anything else I've released, mm-hmm. Maybe 2 months ago. But I increasingly find like the standards for an app are getting higher and higher. It's not enough just to have a static app. You've got to have these animations.
Right.
It just adds a lot more. It makes app development take that bit longer. But at the same time, the app looks that much better, and that's the standard now. Like, the standard has just raised. Over 5 years ago, when Tweetlines went out without a settings page or supporting direct messages. So it's a sign of the times that Action Dash is trying to to look the part and look like a professional modern app. And even, Jason, I don't know if you paid attention, like there's a really nice screen that you only see once when you do the purchase.
Oh, yes. Right.
That showers you in confetti and that sort of stuff. So
that appeared over the top of it. Yeah. I wish I could bring it back.
Yeah. a few people have said that, but I really have tried to make the app a sort of polished experience, and I appreciate the compliment. Is a long-winded acceptance of it.
Right on, Chris. Great job. Who is it who said in the chat, I wish this could be in the arena. Yeah, we do too. unfortunately, Chris, we'll have you on for the next 15 minutes, so you won't be on for the arena. I almost feel like, God, if I had something other than an iPad, I could just tack it onto the pole and we just make it. But no, I'm using an iPad today, and I'm like, I can't get to the pole from here, otherwise I'd add
your diary entry for today. Jeez, for the iPad.
Yeah, it's going to go in my review, dang it. Really great app, Chris. Thank you for
really
talking
cool.
about that. Action Dash. Let's see here. Other app news. Let me see here. Speaking of the iPad, I got to get it to cooperate. Google Maps. I don't know if you noticed in the screens and my usage of Action Dash.
I did.
One app that I use all the time is navigation. Actually, this weekend I went to the mountains. So I went snowboarding, and so I navigated all the way there and back. So my usage was off the charts. It was my most used app this weekend. So I'm a huge fan. I make no bones about that on this show. I love Google Maps. I use it literally every day. And they're adding some new updates, big updates, I would say. And some of these we've been waiting a while for. You can now choose a departure or arrival time for navigation. So if you want to kind of forecast on the traffic for tomorrow, let's say at 9 a.m., you want to say, I want to arrive at my destination tomorrow at 9 a.m. When should I leave? So you can plug that in and it'll kind of give you an estimate of how long traffic is going to be tomorrow at that time to get you there at 9, the time that you should leave the door. The only problem is they don't include any sort of like a notification or anything like that, so there's no way to get notified of it at that time. But it's good information. It's something that desktop mode has done for years, literally, and now they're adding it into the mobile app. I actually used it this weekend. It was off by half an hour. It told me to leave at a certain time, and I did, and I got there a half an hour early. But I'd rather get there early than late, so that was a win. But which also just kind of reminded me, as a side shot tangent, it really sucks that Google Now doesn't do this. You remember when Google Now did that? Where it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, you need to be here. So 15 minutes before, it would like give you that notification and say, you need to leave in 15 minutes to get there on time. Like, that was one of the most useful features. Why did Google get rid of that? Maybe it should be a Maps app.
I think it's in the little inbox.
But okay, if it's there.
It should be a notification, yeah. though. That's how it's going to grab you.
That was the beauty of it.
Is that
I think you're supposed to use a Google Home Hub to tell you.
Okay, great. Yeah,
sorry.
You just got to carry
around a hub and a small generator to keep the hub running at all times to tell you when you need to leave.
They need a battery-powered hub, or maybe a hub that fits into your pocket. Oh, wait. They kind of already have one of those. Another feature, speed limit, which here in the Bay Area, I guess I've taken it for granted because they've been testing it in the Bay Area for such a long time. You get a little speed limit on the top of the map. So that's really nice if you've ever driving and you never noticed the actual speed limit. It's nice to be able to look down and know what it is. So I actually
noticed that for the first time driving in California myself, because I was like, hang on, I use Google Maps all the time. I've never seen this.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's obviously been testing over there for a good while.
Yeah, they were testing in the Bay Area, and then I can't remember which other market. One other market, and they've been doing that for months. Like, it's been here. I feel like it's been here for almost a year now. And it doesn't. It's not the kind of thing that you see every single place you go. I think there's a level of certainty that Google has to have in order to actually post it. Or I'm not sure where they're pulling that data from, or if that's self-reported by users, or what it is. But you don't see the miles per hour, or the miles per hour every road that you happen to travel on, but it does appear a lot, and it appears on lots of the main roads, so it's really nice when it does.
I know they get some of it from the street view cameras.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that makes sense. The street view cars traveling at like the, is that what you're talking about? The street view cars, like,
yeah,
traveling the miles per hour, and then they can report that. That makes a lot of sense.
No, because they're taking the photos. They analyze the photos.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. For a data company, that makes too much sense. I think you nailed it, Chris. They also are including call-outs for speed traps. So you'll get a little camera icon on the map if there's a known speed trap to be somewhere.
This is all stuff that was in Waze, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Like, they continue to kind of drip features from Waze. They can't remove them all because then their two products become one.
That's going to happen eventually. I mean, I know Waze is such a diehard community that would want to stick with it. But, like, I mean, at what point do you just get rid of Waze and just condense it all into Google Maps? I mean, that's what we asked when they bought Waze.
But I wonder if the Waze community part is so integral to the app. Like, I think that's why people like using that app, is because you'll find out immediately, like, if there's a fender bender based on whoever reports it. And I think it integrates with some ride sharing too, so you have some data that way.
But I know that my
beloved road ragers in my life, they love Waze for that reason.
My beloved road ragers. That doesn't seem to work together, but I'll take your word for it. Is it ethical to show speed traps in a map?
Yes.
I guess, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
At least in Australia, they've done that for a long time on the radio. They'll say, you know, watch out on this road. I think where at least here, it seems where the line is reporting the police testing people for, you know, drunk driving and that sort of stuff.
Checkpoints.
Right, the checkpoints. Checkpoint. And I think that's all there is to it. That's Google Maps updates. I'm always happy to see updates, so I will probably always talk about them. Flo, you got the next one.
This is about Twitter, which is why I'm stumbling, because Twitter is a social network that I use often and daily and sometimes hourly. And apparently Twitter disclosed that the protect your tweets setting that keeps your tweets from being shown to the public actually didn't work for some users of the Twitter app for Android. Whoops. So, for example, if a user had changed their account email address, it could have disabled the protect your tweet setting, making the tweets visible. So all the awful things you were saying about people behind the scenes have now been exposed. users are impacted dating back to November 2014. But Twitter says that the issue has been fully resolved. Of course, if that didn't scare you away from Twitter for Android, new feature could actually maybe decide to keep you staying around. Twitter for Android now has a new button at the top right of the feed for switching to a chronological view, which is the complaint that people have now, because what was once a chronological microblog is now it's all over the place. It's a tweeter.
Yeah, Everyone complains about the algorithm and how they change the algorithm. And I hear, I mean, like, my wife complains about it. I hear friends complain about it. I'm using Talon and it never went away. So, like, it's funny that's I never used the official Twitter app. So that never affected me. Talon stayed chronological. And I use TweetDeck on the desktop, which is also chronological. So, It's just the whole whining about the chronological view makes me laugh because you could have had it. Everyone's like, "What is Twitter doing to me?" But like you could have found a workaround. That's my point. So
yeah,
geez, Twitter.
I guess you had to work a little for it in order to know.
You had
that.
To work around it.
Yeah,
Twitter didn't make it easy for you.
Make nothing easy for you. Did you read that article with the interview with what's his face with Jack? Oh, there's some article. I forget what publication it was in, but it was an interview with Jack Dorsey at Twitter and about Twitter's future, and it's just all over the map.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, wow, what, you know, like how the mighty have fallen.
Twitter's an interesting thing. Continues to be an interesting service. Like, it is the service that I use, like, as far as social networks are concerned, it's the service I use most. But yeah. I question it. I guess in the same way that I questioned using Facebook. And hey, my Facebook account is now officially deleted.
Question everything.
Apparently,
and now you can question exactly how many minutes you used Twitter for.
Well, I know when I was using your app, I was looking. I was like, man, that day I was on Twitter a lot. I really need to check.
Flo should take a look at that. She should. Yeah.
I've been going out through Twitter. I've been going to Twitter through the Chrome browser. So my digital well-being and now Action Dash. Will bundle all that time on Chrome together into one piece of the pie. So you can't really tell.
Oh, good.
In the Twitter tab.
That's like a hack.
It is.
It's like a life hack.
But it's also, I don't get notifications and I only get it when I check in.
Yeah. It's nice to turn off the notifications. That's one really great way to improve your life, I think, as far as these social networks are concerned.
M.Twitter.com.
Yeah. Should we do this email, Ron?
Yeah, we do it real quickly. It's funny because often I'll say throwaway things on the show and I'm not looking for an answer and I'm not looking for everyone to tell me how to do things. I know how to do things.
Oh yeah.
I kind of say it just as like a joke or just as fun, like kind of frustrating thing. But every now and then I say something that really, really resonates with the audience. And a good example of this is email from Todd Norris, who writes in and says, I'm pretty sure this is a life hack that most people don't know about and 100% not in the vein of the show, but also this doesn't work if someone is sitting there with their hand out staring at you waiting. Every bank and credit union I've used for the last 20 years has had a bill payer built in, even the small regionals. The bill payer mails checks for free in most cases. Scroll down. What you do is log into your online account for your checking account. Go to the bill payer section. There's always an option to add a payee. Find it and select it. Type in the name of your payee. Go to the selection that allows you to pay your payees that have been set up. Select the payee you made, type in the amount you'd like to send, and pick the delivery date. You have to give them usually about 3 to 5 days so they can print and mail the check, but it works awesome. If it's a recurring payment, you can usually set that up as well, and usually it has options on how many recursions, how long, and if the final payment needs to be different from others. I hope this helps Ron and other freelancer types or those needing to fling checks into people's hands in this very digital world. Thank you, Todd. And this is related to last week's episode 403.
You're right.
When I made a throwaway comment about not being able to send a check virtually and blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing. I know how to do this. I've done this.
I didn't know you could do this. I learned.
Yeah. The difference is that so I bank with a very, very large bank that has a red, white, and blue color scheme theme. Their UI and how you explain this, Todd, in your email is so arcane and annoying compared to another bank that I use for my business accounts, which has a blue logo, where they just have checks and it just like send a check and their UI makes it so much easier. And it's a great example of how, yes, this has existed for the last 20 years where banks have had bill payer options built in, but the banks aren't evolving as fast as the software that we're using every day, like Venmo or like other things like that, or even other banks. And what is available doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to find or easy to use. So,
They gotta brand it with their smart.
Exactly.
Bill
it
pay.
Took me, it took me like two clicks to send a check with my business banking. And it took me like six, like you outlined here, Todd, to do it with my personal checking. That to me is a sign that could be fixed. Yes, it's not about Android, but it's about software and software design and, big monolithic banks need to get with the times.
Maybe someone needs to create an Android app that does nothing but actually send checks for you.
Mr. Lacey? Yeah.
Mr. Lacey, I think
we could be a middleman there, sure.
Yes, exactly. And you know, you take a cut, and I think this could be a big hit. Chris.
Yeah.
We got to let you go because it's the top of the hour, Chris. I want to let you know that I made my way through the murky waters of the Safari browser on the iPad, logged into SurveyMonkey, which is the polling system that we are using right now for the arena for the next couple of weeks, and I have added Action Dash. So even though you aren't in the arena officially, you are to be voted on because your app deserves to be there. So we'll
see. Feel free to judge me. That's fine.
We'll see. The people
that's
will
what the
speak.
App polls for.
And they will vote. But I'm happy to add that in there.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Chris, it's always a pleasure getting you on. We'd love to have you back again soon. And congratulations on the new app.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, man. We'll talk to you soon, Chris.
Congrats, Chris.
Cheers.
Awesome. Good chatting, phone, Ron. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye, Chris.
All right. And now we're going to loop back up. Victor, I hope you're following. It's time for hardware. Of course, right. Victor is. Victor is awesome.
Yeah. Victor's the best. He's amazing. Okay. What's also awesome is the fact that I've been waiting all day to talk to you guys about this phone because earlier today I was at work and one of my coworkers is also a mobile phone enthusiast like us three slacked me the link to the story about this and says, no way this is real. And anytime a conversation starts with that, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And so basically, a report is emerging that the Motorola Razr, the phone that some will say changed, you know, the way we looked at cell phones as accessories and devices and things like that, might be coming back. Might be poised to make a comeback. The Wall Street Journal posted about a week ago about Lenovo's plans to bring it back. But with a price tag of, and I hope you're all sitting down, $1,500. And it would be available on Verizon later this year, possibly even next month.
What?
So stay tuned. And now a newly discovered patent that was filed on December 17th shows that the design could be a foldable screen inside with a second screen on the outside. So if you look at the schematic here, it's like the flip phone, Razr phone that we know, except that you open it and it's one long foldable screen and I'm in love.
I think we have a hit on our hands.
So you might wonder why it's so expensive, you know, $1,500 being not, you know, not very cheap. But the Royal FlexPay, starts at $1,300. So it's easy to assume that a foldable Samsung device would be in that price range as well, as foldable displays probably aren't cheap yet, as the economies of scale haven't hit yet. But hey, man, I called it, dude. I said foldable displays are on the horizon. I think I said within 2 or 3 years. I didn't think within 1 or 2 months, but
I'm down. I'm down.
This is great. This is great.
I love it. As long as this, for me, this only works like, yeah, foldable screen. That's great. Whatever. This only works if the action on flipping it open and flipping it closed the way we did with it back when it came out years and years ago. And it was like, hello, you know,
I
got
to tell you,
flip it up and like, yeah,
I got to tell you, there's nothing better than hanging up on someone with a flip phone.
Oh, yeah.
And that is completely gone. And now you just go and you just tap your screen. And that's not the same.
Well,
but
the
flip phone, you know, is great.
Yeah. All right. Yes. I see what you're saying. Yes, exactly. As long as you get that satisfying, like, that's what you want.
So it's funny because friend of the show, Ron Amadeo, had a very funny quote. A real quote. I posted the link. He posted on Twitter about it. But he just says he's basically calling out the design, the patent for just basically being impossible. You know, saying that, you know, the thinness of the patent and that regular smartphones and their bezels aren't even this thin. And if this is going to be a first gen foldable, basically, this is a fantasy. It's a very good point. I mean, if you look at that middle drawing in the schematic, it is very thin. And our phones aren't even that thin. So it's got to be some magic going on. But if you look, the bottom where the microphone is quite bulky. So maybe they packed all the bulk down there. I want to say, and this is what I say to Ron, anybody else who is disbelievers, don't stop believing. You know, maybe give Samsung a shot. I might go over to the Samsung side of things if they pull this thing off.
Well, but this would be Motorola. Would you go over to Motorola or go over to Samsung?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I would go to...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would go to Motorola for sure. For sure.
This might indeed be fantasy or just wishful thinking for the future or something, yeah, because that is very thin. But there's no banana for scale. So how do we know that this isn't just a really large phone that's scaled down for this image?
Would be great. It could be. That's a great idea. The phone could be the size of like those big post-it note papers that you put on an easel,
yes,
and then you fold it.
Exactly. There you go. It would be like the opposite of the Zoolander phone.
I'm just telling you, foldable is our future, and the future is now or a month from now. So Motorola, thank you. Not Samsung. I'm sorry. Motorola, Razor, sign me up. Even though it is, someone points out in the chat room, it is on Verizon, which I am not a Verizon customer, but maybe I'll become a Verizon customer again after 10 years of being away.
I mean, if that's like perfect scenario for Verizon, right? Release that phone as an exclusive, and people will come over to your network just for it. Yeah. Flo does not agree, I don't think. She's not on this train with us, Ron. No? Is this one of those like, oh, Ron and I are old fuddy-duddies and we think that this phone's going to be amazing, but the millennials don't.
I've never been a fan of the Razr phone, like, because back in the day, everybody who was on AT&T had this phone, and I was not on AT&T or whatever it was back then. But then also, I remember it like didn't even have very good sound, and I'm a gabber, and I need a phone that sounds good. And back then, you had to buy a phone that sounded well.
Yeah.
If you were having phone calls. I also remember it didn't have a very good camera on it, and there were phones at this time with like 5-megapixel cameras, and that's
They weren't even at 5 megapixels.
There was a Sony Ericsson that was doing 5 megapixels at this time.
This was before any data was going on. There was very little photo. They were all those pixely photos. And
Maybe it was 2 megapixels. Yeah. Maybe it was 2 megapixels, but that was still a lot in the early aughts.
In the early days. I also remember there was some sort of an issue where the side vents near the display would let like pocket lint in. On the top of the display, you'd get a little like dust, like pocket dust that would obscure the screen. So hopefully, these are all problems that that Lenovo would fix in this new $1,500 phone.
But I just think it's interesting that back then I was only using LG and Samsung flip phones, and I think we've noticed there's been a consistency in product. I feel like Motorola is really trying to go for the BlackBerry angle here.
Yeah.
With like the, you know.
No doubt.
Let's do this. Let's ride on that nostalgia train. Look, we got everybody. It's 1999 again.
I think
next year is the millennium.
So, okay, but walking down that road where you're going, ride down on the nostalgia train. That's one tactic. But ride on the nostalgia train with the future of foldable phones in the caboose. You know, like, it's not just a nostalgia phone. It's a nostalgia phone with next-gen technology that is like the next coming of smartphone technology. Some people would believe, Ron included.
So just to go back, just to clarify, the Motorola Razr V3X released in 2005 had a 2-megapixel rear-facing camera.
Okay.
That was 2005.
That was probably pretty hot. In 2005, two-megapixel camera in your pocket, on a phone.
Yeah, I was on VGA until at least 2006.
Yeah. Oh.
Didn't you also have to buy a dongle to hook up headphones to it?
Yes. Yes, you did. And they were not full stereo.
So wait a minute. You had to buy a dongle for headphones back then? They were forward thinking too. Talk about the future.
Well, I will say that I put the Razr earlier, but I didn't realize the Razr, its height was 2006. So that's when it sold 50 million units. It? Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was earlier.
I thought it was earlier too, but that makes
That was the StarTAC, Jason.
That actually makes sense.
As Cousin of Joss says in the chat room, the StarTAC was better than the Razr.
Oh.
I had a StarTAC. Yeah. That was my first cell phone.
Yeah.
Hmm. I never had either.
I gotta tell you, there is a real affinity on this show, both for, I think, for especially for us, but hopefully the whole audience, for phone nostalgia. Like, you could, like, honestly, we could spin off a whole all about
because
phone nostalgia.
Because we discovered
show.
It in our lives. We started without it, and then we discovered it. Also, I discovered it during the most formative years of my life. So whenever I think about nostalgic check, it takes me back to being that age and to just like having this as my hobby, having this as the thing that would help me come down from like all the stresses of being a teenager in the suburbs.
Yes.
Which can be pretty stressful for some of us.
I mean, I remember I was on Verizon. I think it was the LG chocolate, maybe. Anyways, getting that phone and researching for hours on how to like customize it the way that I wanted to, and move like arcade music onto the phone to be my ringtone, like the Pac-Man song to be my ringtone or whatever. And how hard that was. It was so difficult. Like, I had to dive into forums. I had to pick it apart, but man, I made it happen. It's no surprise that we all ended up on Android, because that's the length we had to go through. Burke just dropped off a care package. I don't even know what I'm looking at, Burke. What am I?
Oh, the old Nokia. That old Nokia.
Oh, just the box, not the actual photo. Okay. Description was important. There's the let's not look at the photos Nokia, that are inside the box.
That Nokia was predated the Razr, and that was a hot phone. Everyone wanted that phone.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
That was a big phone. And then there were photos in the box. No, we aren't gonna I don't know. I don't know what's in the box. We're not gonna go there. Next up, we have kind of rumory stuff. Why don't we spend a few minutes talking about Samsung and the Galaxy S10 rumor mill time, the release event. It's coming fast. You're going to blink. It's going to be here. But here's some new stuff to chew on. Friend of the show, EvLeaks, posted renders of the S10e, or probably the S10 Edge, I'm guessing, the S10 and the S10 Plus. In a see-through case. So these are like case renders. And so you kind of get a little bit of a sense. If you click on that image, it'll blow it up a little bit for you. And you can kind of get a little sense of what the S10s look like. It looks
Let's talk about that back real quick.
Wow.
Can we just please talk about that Cylon eye that's staring at you from the back?
Yeah. I feel like we're getting pretty used to that look. No?
I know, it's just, is that what the few...
That's a lot.
It's just
that's
a bar.
Lot of,
it's just a camera bar.
That's a lot of bar, though. That's a lot of bar to swallow.
It is.
Well, don't be eating your smartphone, Ron.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bad idea.
No.
Well, I mean, but there's the what is it? The Nokia 7.1 that has the, like, 5-camera array on the back? This is just the way it's going. This is like, the future.
Ugh.
Like half of the back of your phone are sensors.
But does it have to be so prominent? Like, what? I don't know. I just, you know.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I agree, Flo. I hear it's a lot.
But you never have to look at it. It's always facing away from you when you're the user.
Well, no. Right? Do you know how many mirror selfies I take where you can see the back of the phone? Come on.
Oh,
or when you flip the phone face down on the desk, it's just going to be staring at you.
Oh, man. That's going to be horrible.
Plus, the design of the case usually happens on the back of the phone. That's what you want to really showcase to people.
Yeah, okay.
And like, how do you imagine a flowery background or a metallic one would look with that?
Like
very boxy.
Like it does with every other phone. Ice Universe on Twitter also shared that the S10 Plus 12 gig memory, 1 terabyte storage version.
Really?
Will have a ceramic back cover. 12 gig memory? Is that even...
This just feels like when I was covering PCs and... people just talk about like how much RAM they would just stuff into a PC build, and it just feels like so much.
It does. Yep. Well, like, that would be a first, as far as I know.
That's a lot.
That's
crazy. I don't
even
have 12 gigs in my computer at home. Come on.
And I feel like every time that we hear the new plateau or the new kind of peak of amount of memory, you know, at one point we heard 6 gigs of memory, 6 gigs of RAM. That's too much. You don't need 6 gigs. And then it was 8 gigs. You'll never need. Yeah. Why would you ever need 8 gigs? And now it's 12? Man, I'm having a hard time believing this one.
We were talking about editing video on our phones. I feel like we're getting with 12 gig and 1 terabyte, we're getting there.
Yeah, no kidding.
But hang on. The 12 gig, 1 terabyte is crazy, but it gets crazier, Jason. Finish the rest of it.
Scratch resistant, but that's not all. Resistant to damage from a drop.
But the weight will increase.
Okay.
It'll be scratch resistant and resistant to falling.
All that indestructible ceramic on the back, plus that huge terabyte drive
on the inside. Yes,
it's a spinning hard drive.
That's great. It's got platters.
Wow. Okay, I'm curious, Samsung. I'm curious if Ice Universe does not have a bad what is the word I'm looking for? His track record? Yeah, track record. There you go. He or she does not have a bad track record. Very clued in on the Chinese kind of access to, to the
rumor, the rumor mill of the market, if you will.
Yes. Yes. And then finally, XDA tore down the latest Samsung Pay app and found 2 references to the S10 that refers specifically to an in-display fingerprint sensor. So that's on. Yeah.
I got to tell you, OnePlus T Life with my in-display fingerprint sensor, I don't know how I lived without it.
Yeah.
To be honest,
my husband uses it all the time. It's still very cool. Everybody's like, can I look at your graphic? Your graphic's super cool. Can I just see it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is nice. And it works. You don't run into issues with it. It works when you expect it to. This event, by the way, is February 20th. I think we're also going to hear some news sometime in the next week or so about Samsung's Galaxy M devices, I believe. So that's probably coming around the corner. But this particular device announcement will be February 20th. So there we go. And how about a little bit of the other kind of hardware? Let's do that right now, too. Boop, 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 boop. All right, Flo, you got this one.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We were talking about wearables earlier. Well, we're going to talk more about them now because we're in the hard wearable section. Anyway, Fossil is selling $40 million of its smartwatch IP to Google for use in future smartwatch tech. This was the big news late last week. Everybody's talking about it. Fossil Executive Vice President Greg McKelvey said on wearable.com that it's based on something out of our timeline. It's new to the market technology, and we think it's a product that has features and benefits that aren't in the category today, speaking of the Wear OS platform. Google confirmed that it will sit within the Wear OS family, and Google saw what Fossil was working on and struck this deal to bring that tech to all partners in its ecosystem. So those who maybe don't know, Fossil is kind of the larger umbrella brand of several other wearable brands, including Michael Kors, Fossil, obviously, the new Kate Spade scalloped watch. They also own that. So it's just kind of like this little umbrella covering, as you will, of these brands. And so I'm assuming that would also include brands like maybe LG or Garmin. But of course, no one would comment on whether this means anything for a Pixel watch, though there certainly have been a lot of people alluding to that, even though we did get confirmation last year that it wasn't a thing that was happening anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Still, everyone's got their hopes up, and who knows what's going to be coming in the future. All I know is that Google just... Well, can I back up very quickly there?
Urge.
Yes. So I tweeted over the weekend the link to Ron Amadio's Ars Technica write-up about this. And I agreed with him that $40 million is actually not a lot when you think about the scope of the billions that Google has put into some other businesses that it has, which just kind of makes me think that this isn't so much like a takeover or something that's going to vastly change the trajectory of Wear OS. it's just something to kind of help keep the roller coaster on the track so that the ride is enjoyable for those who are still on the roller coaster, so to speak, and to take that metaphor very far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my conjecture.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. 40 million isn't an insane amount. I think what I'm most interested in here is that Google continues to signal through this kind of press that whatever this particular technology that it's buying the IP for is, we don't know what it is yet. And Google plans for this to not be something that's only locked into Fossil, but that hits all of the other partners.
Project Soli. It's Project Soli.
Why would Google have to pay Fossil for Project Soli? That's Google's project.
I don't know that it's paying Fossil for it. I would think that it's just paying it to say, we're going to go in and we're going to weave this technology with what we kind of already gave you, and we'd like to pay you to let us do that.
And to let your partners do that too.
I'm coming completely at this like just with my own thoughts about the matter and how business is made. Of course, somebody could step in and say, Flo, that's not how business is done. And I would believe you because I'm not usually on the business side of things. But I am just envisioning that from what I know of Project Soli, from having demoed it and from some of the stories that I've been reading about it and just like the way it functions, I feel like at this stage in the game, that's the only thing that would be a real game changer for Wear OS compared to the market that the Apple Watch has cinched. Because that's a huge,
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Wear OS is just so far down the line. And I can't possibly believe that Google is going to stop and say, well, we're just going to give it to the fashion brands. Because I think the idea of bringing like a next gen technology to fashion would be the thing that would make Wear OS like a cosmopolitan platform, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds so like trite, but but seriously, because if Apple's like, hey, get this watch to help you like save money on your health insurance, I could see Google being like, well, okay, for those of you who aren't like super running all the time but are really into looking good, like here's a watch where you don't even have to touch it to do stuff with it. It just looks really good on your hand.
So I'm trying to envision a world where everybody has a watch that they don't have to touch it to control it. And like,
no,
are they going like this?
They just, you do this, you do like this or that. I don't know. But this one for sure.
Yeah.
This one.
This is the motion of the future right here.
I apologize for those listening to the audio stream because I am rubbing
my song. I'm going to turn it up.
I'm rubbing my fingers together like a pinch of salt, like when you're putting salt over, you know, a pot of water to make pasta.
What was that meme with the guy?
Yeah. Oh, salt guy. He's great.
Yes. This is how he's going to check the time on his watch.
That's how he's going to check his notifications on
his world. Okay. We pummeled that one into the ground. Yeah. Is
Thank
it time?
You for letting me soapboxing.
It was great. Love it. Is it time for the arena? Should we do the arena?
Yeah, it is.
Let's do the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Thank you, Bleak. It was Salt Bay. So this would be Soli Bay.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. twit.to/AAApoll403 is where you went to place your vote. And if you did, you voted. And it looks like bottom quick settings wins with 54.07% of the votes. That is Ron raising his hand in victory. Kobo Books, second place at 36.05%. I love that we get decimals in these percentages now. And third place, I figured, call me out at 9.88% of the votes. Ron, you won. Congratulations.
Ron, you won.
Thank you. I don't mean to be insufferable or to call you out, Jason. But so after 2 weeks in the arena, thanks to Wade County and the chat room for keeping track
of
this.
Thank you, Wade County.
In the new voting system, I am winning with 10 points because I am in first place. Flo is in second with 5 points. And Jason and the guests are tied with 3 points. So it is still early on. I'm not going to get too inflated ego yet. We got another week to get through, and we'll see what the future holds.
We got a long ways to go, but congratulations, Ron.
All I know is that I'm going last.
All right, you are going last. I'm going first. Flo, you are in the middle, and Chris Lacey already went because his app is, I didn't include it in on the list. So he already went and then he took off.
Wow. We've got a work cut out for us. Fill.
Yeah, it's true. I'll show off mine real quick. I've flirted with the idea of just doing games this entire year, like giving myself a challenge of always coming up with a game, but probably don't want to lock myself into it. But I do have another game. I guess I didn't do a game last week unless you call that a game, which I guess it could be, but not quite. This is a game called Outrush, and it's loading right now. It's basically you have this jet, and I think you'll get some of the audio because it's already plugged in, so if you want to get it, you'll want to because it's got some really, really nice chill wave, synth wave soundtrack, whatever. But you play, we'll go ahead and continue in here. It's kind of reminds me in some ways like Zaxxon. If you remember Zaxxon from the old arcade days, swipe down, tap to kind of change your I can't do this while talking, but basically all these levels fit within a minute and they get really intense as you go along. Swiping down and up to move, of course, tapping allows you to change your wing. I can't do this and talk at the same time. I just want to get through the dang controls. It allows you to rotate. If you do forward, you blast, and back, like, applies the brakes. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. The levels do get more and more difficult. I swear this level is not this difficult. It's just when you're trying to review an app that it becomes difficult. But what I really like is that the developer says that coming in the near future will be a level editor. Of course, it is a ad-supported app, so we'll go ahead and get rid of that. But there's going to be a level editor. So as you kind of work your way through the levels, which aren't nearly as difficult as I'm making it seem right now. Dang it. Okay, I quit. Then you can actually make your own levels and everything. I really like the stylized kind of design of this. Lots of lasers and stuff. Lots of neon and that sort of stuff. And the soundtrack is really great. Put on some headphones and play through this game. And it's just kind of a good game to kill time and hopefully do a little bit better than I'm doing right now. Hey, I made it further. Think I can continue? Can I? I think I can. Okay, so blast through, slow down. Dang it. All right, there you go. It's called Outrush, and it's a lot of fun. You should check it out. Outrush, and it is free in the Play Store. You might be able to pay to remove the ads. I did not check, to be honest. But if you can, you should do that. All right, Flo, your app is up next. I'll pull it up while you talk about it.
All right. So I love to use Android Auto, but I don't like to use any of, like, I don't like to use, I don't like to have it automatically pop on when it connects to Bluetooth in my car, because sometimes I don't want to have it up in the its seat. I want to have it in my pocket and just have music playing, whatever. Anyway, that's the story of this. So AppTiles is an app that I found that lets you kind of put a shortcut for an oft-used app in the quick settings so that you don't have to go kind of scroll through your homepage looking for it. And because I am such a stickler for my homepage or for my homepage aesthetic, you know, I like to have certain icons in places. This is nice because I get to hide it in the quick settings. So AppTiles is super easy to use. And I'm actually, sorry about that, Jason. I'm going to launch it here alongside you so that I can help explain it to you. So when you launch AppTiles, basically, it gives you six different tiles that you get to set. And once you set them here to the app that you want to launch, all you have to do is tap select on any of the open app tiles, select the one that you want. Of course, I chose Android Auto. Perhaps you would like to choose something else. Okay, Android Auto, perfect. The only slight caveat about this particular app is the advertising. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a way to pay to remove the ads. And it will ask you if you want targeted ads. I said no thanks. And I just kind of take it for what it's giving me. The good news is you don't have to interact with the app once you've set it up. So now, Jason, go into your quick settings and go ahead and edit your quick settings.
Oh, right. Okay. So
hit the little pencil button. And then when you scroll down, you will start to see the different tiles. And so go ahead and grab the one you made, which is the first one, and just place it wherever. And then go ahead and exit out and save all that, of course.
There it is.
And there it is. And then it shows you the little icon. And then it just starts up. And it's nice and easy. And it's free. And yeah, it kind of tosses you an annoying ad once in a while. But, you know, the utility, it's the utility.
There it is. Android Auto in my quick settings. Awesome. That is App Tiles, and it is free. Ad-supported, but free. Okay, and then Ron, I have your app installed. Tell me a little bit about it.
So no surprise that I love to-do list apps and getting things done and things like that. For those of us in the offline world, know that one of the key tools that we use in our working life or creative life or whatever is those nifty Moleskine notebooks. Right? Those little leather-bound notebooks, different sizes. They have different Moleskine notebooks with different kind of layouts. Well, the fine folks at Moleskine have entered the digital universe. And today I'm showing you their new app, which is called Actions by Moleskine. And basically what it does is it's a to-do list app that carries the nice sense of design that Moleskine gives you. So on this view, you get your schedule and you see from today all the way to a week out. Now what you can also do is you can, on the far left, Jason, hit that little tab, hit that button. You can create action cards and you make lists of things. It's almost like how you keep track of projects. So Jason, if you wanted to type, let's just call that, Android, just call it Android for now. So we'll create this. You can give it a color after you're done typing. Let's call it green. There you go. All right, and hit the enter and hit done. So there you go. So now you have a list called Android, and maybe you want to go in there and add something to do. So you want to add, whatever podcast, right? And you can schedule it by hitting. Oh, hang on, went too fast. You can hit the unschedule button to schedule when it's going to happen. You could say it's going to happen today, tomorrow, this week, later. You can have it repeat if you want to be a recurring task. You do all that settings there. Tell it repeat every day, every week, whatever you want, what do you want to do. And once you get it all done there, you kind of swipe that, hit that down arrow and it closes it. And hit that then and hit, and that's it. Hit down arrow. Well, you just completed it now. Unfortunately.
Oh, I see. I completed it for today.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, it's true. It's almost complete.
Right.
Our show's almost done.
But what happens is that once you add it, it adds it to that list. Now tap it again and uncomplete it. Can you uncomplete it? Get rid of complete. There you go. So it's not complete yet. So now hit that little, right there, and hit the X. And now under today, you see you have the podcast. And it's that simple. You can also capture things you have to do by just hitting the hit the plus button in the lower right-hand corner, and you can type in what you want to do. And so you're going to say you're going to, do sleep, and you're going to schedule it. And then you can add it to say your sleep tomorrow. There you go. Minimize it.
I'll save my sleep for tomorrow.
Now, so from here, you can add it to a list. So just hit choose list, and here your only choice is Android. But if you had other lists, you can choose there, or you can add a new one. So you can say health. Yeah, there you go. So we're going to add it to that one, and then you're all done and good to go. Yeah. And so now tomorrow you're going to sleep. So now let's complete podcasting. So tap on podcast and hit complete. Now, if you hit the little Moleskine icon in the middle, the middle left one, that's where you keep track of your log of everything that you've done. So not only are you keeping track of the things that you're doing, when you're scheduling them, what list they're a part of, but once you finish them, you keep this whole reference log of where they are. So if you're able to align your tasks that you have to do in this kind of scheduled daily kind of approach, and then by associating with lists, this could be a really powerful app. If you hit the upper right-hand corner to go to the settings and stuff, I just love the way their animations are. If you notice that, like if you go back, you see how it kind of, the way it just kind of moves, kind of like a zooming in, zooming out. It's not material design, or it's material light, if anything. But they really brought their own kind of design aesthetic to it, which is really cool. So if you download this app, it is free in the Google Play Store, and you get a 7-day trial. After that, it's a subscription-based model. So if you hit get membership, you have two options. You can either pay $199 a month or $11.99 for a year. And once you do that, then you become a member and you can use the app in the cloud and sync it to your old devices. It's a different paradigm of compensating for an app. But honestly, we always say support your devs. I'm behind it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like the idea of the subscription model. And Moleskine is a brand name that you can trust. It's cool to see them getting in the digital world. This one makes sense. I'd love to see them do kind of like a journaling app or some sort of sketchbook app. But for now, they're doing tasks. So Actions by Moleskine, free to start, and then $1.99 a month or $11.99 a year. So very cool.
Right on. Like it. Actions by Moleskine, or is it Moleskine or Moleskine? Or yeah. You never know. I never know how to say that, but Moleskine, that works. twit.to/AAApoll404. twit.to/AAApoll404. And you can vote for your favorite app this week. There are four selections, even though we only did three in the actual arena. This is one of those rare times where we added a fourth. Outrush, Actions by Moleskine, AppTiles, and Chris Lacey's Action Dash. Go there, place your vote. We'll check on it next week. But in the meantime, Victor is having a hard time deciding. He chooses AppTiles, and we get the instant feedback to find that Outrush, Actions, and AppTiles all have one vote so far. So
there it goes.
We'll see what happens.
Anybody's ball game, folks.
The play field is open. Anyone can win this game. Yep. All right. And that is it. We made it to the end. We did it.
We did.
Another successful episode. We did not 404 throughout this episode and go offline. Flo, thank you so much for coming on tonight and not sitting next to me so that I wouldn't possibly get you sick. I'm happy that tomorrow you will wake up healthy and happy.
Yes, I am really looking forward to sleeping tonight.
Good. Sorry. We all should look forward to that.
It's been an interesting start to the new year. Yeah. Lots of things boiling in the background.
Oh, good stuff.
Yes, good stuff.
Okay, good.
Just nothing to consume yet.
Okay, all right. We'll have to wait until next week to find all about that.
Sorry.
FlorenceIron.com, though, if you're curious.
Thank you.
You can go there and find the flow.
Oh, yeah, I am updating my website. I did do that. I have been doing that.
You always also, do please that.
Please send me your questions. I actually went through and answered a bunch of emails this weekend. And so if you have a question about any of the shows that I do or any articles that I write or you just need some tech help, you could just go to FlorenceIron.com and submit a question.
Awesome.
And I'm here.
Are you just doing that for free?
Yes, for now.
Wow. All right.
Sorry.
Get in on that, folks, while it lasts.
Perhaps I shouldn't have said that so quickly. Whoops. I told you
might,
guys.
Might I interest you in a $1.99 per month or $11.99 per year subscription program?
Have a takeover ad appear over the top of it. Thank you, Flo. Appreciate it. Ron, what's new with you?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I told you about my new podcast, Finale Podcast. You can go check that out at finalepodcast.com. Last week, I told you about the pinball hardware and app project that I launched called Scorbit. You can go see that at scorbit.io. But really, I'm in the business of delivering things. Uh-huh. And today, I'm delighted to share with the All About Android audience that I'll probably be taking some time off in the future from the show, but for good reason. And Victor, if you want to pull it up on Facebook, I announced that today was the 1 month birthday of me and my wife's twins that we welcomed to the world on December 22nd. On that photo, you can see Luna B on the left, Luna Beatrice, and on the right is Remo, boy and girl twins that were born 1 month today, 1 month ago today. We're delighted. They came a little early. They were about 7 weeks early. They've been in the NICU and the hospital here in New York City under great care. But they're going to come home any day now. And it's really, really exciting. Me and my wife are very, very, I can't say how excited we are. We're very, very excited. They're both healthy. My wife is doing great. Everybody's doing wonderful. So Jason, I joined the club.
You joined the club. I'm proud of you, Ron.
Congratulations, Ron. Awesome dad. They're so beautiful.
Yeah. Congratulations.
It's pretty exciting. So I'm excited to share with everybody. So I'll probably be taking a couple of weeks off once they're home. But then I've got some solutions in the mix. I will be back. But yeah, so we'll make sure everyone knows, and I'll be back soon enough, because I gotta get my Android fix in, and Lord knows I'm gonna need a distraction from crying babies.
Man, I don't even know with twins how you do that, man.
Let me tell you, Jason,
one at a time was enough.
Jason, neither do I.
I was going to say, take those old phones, put some just like white noise on them, and then just place them by the baby's heads, and they could just like, one of them could be at the sea and one of them could be in the desert.
Yeah. I mean, that is actually, well, that is actually one of the tips that I could share with you, Ron, is that white noise is your friend.
White noise is our friend.
White noise will aid in their sleep. It will also aid in your sleep. Sometimes you just need to be blocked off a little bit too, in order to catch some Z's. But I'm so happy for you guys.
I'm going to need all the advice I can get, Jason. I'm going to need all the tips, all the life hacks, folks. Well, so listen, forget about sending checks via e-checks via banks. Send me your life hacks about raising children, because I have no clue. So,
congratulations, Ron.
There's got to be an app to track all this stuff, right?
Actually, I wish. Let's see here. Can I do this on the fly? No, I think. Let's see.
No, you got the iPad, unfortunately.
I know. You know, meanwhile, it has a fully functional Safari browser on it, right?
Is that an oxymoron? Fully functional in Safari?
That's true. Okay. No, see, I can't do this. It's not letting me do it. I wanted to go to the arena. I know that years ago, talking probably when my second daughter was born, so probably 2013, I brought an app in the arena that was all about tracking all of the different things that you do with a baby, changing diapers, all this stuff.
I remember.
You know, just go to twit.to/arena search, Ron, and do a search for baby, and you'll probably find something.
That's probably true.
We'll find an app from six years ago that probably
has. Oh, man, it's probably never been updated. It's probably looking real... Yeah, bad.
Well, I'm excited. It's gonna be a new adventure, and I'm sure my taste in apps will change, and I'll be really pushing the limits of what Google Home can do in helping to raise my children. But unrelated to my newly born children, Jason, you're on an iPad. You can install Chrome, you know, for iOS.
Yeah, but you know, I'm gonna actually do this, some part of me feels like I need to dwell a little bit. I need to dwell in the murkiness.
You're better.
Maybe
man
towards
than
the
I.
end.
Although I think it's one more week of doing this, and I mean, I feel like to a certain degree I've already failed, because I'm not using this for 100% of everything that I'm doing, because I hit a wall with it where I was like, I can't use
That's
this.
That's
your
story.
For everything
you
I do.
Hit a wall with the iPad.
Yes. Well, thankfully I won't hit
you
a wall
hit a
with
and the
wall iPad. Because it's Megan's iPad, and I won't throw it at a wall. I'll save her that. But Ron, I'm so happy for you.
Me too.
And I'm happy that everybody knows now, because it's hard to hold on to secrets like that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And we wanted to make sure everybody was okay and healthy and all that fun stuff. Luckily, they are. So we're in great shape. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I should also say, take all the time you need. Don't worry about it. It's all good. We got it. And you come back when you're ready. But this is not to say that you're off next week. I think you're on next week.
No, I'll be here next week. Yeah, I'll be here next week. Or I should be. I don't know.
We'll see. But we'll make an announcement when we know.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Ron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Victor. Congratulations, Victor, on a successful episode of All About Android.
Oh, thanks. And congratulations again, Ron.
Thanks, Victor.
I'm looking forward to in a year like a... videos of your kids trying to ask the Google Home to play Baby Shark.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I asked my wife, I said, do you want me to get one of those Google Clips so we can get photos of everything? And she said, oh God, no.
You don't need Google Clips.
Send you mine.
Yeah, Flo, send him Google Clips. I'll send
you
my Google
mine?
Glass.
Because I'm not using mine.
No, it's okay.
I'll send you my Google Glass and you can get their first
the
steps.
Google Glass will need, yeah.
That'll be about a year from now. So a year from now, you'll get their first steps with Google Glass. We got you covered, Ron.
I still got a handy cam, too. You know, like,
nice.
you can go full dad.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Too funny.
Papa Ron.
I love the sound of that.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Ron needs his sleep. You can find me all over the Twit Network. I'm just here doing shows. That's what I do. But if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Jason Hell. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate it each and every week. We love doing this show, and it's great to have you guys along. Voicemail can be left 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Arena Apps List, I was talking about it a little bit earlier, twit.to/AndroidApps. You can also find all of our show notes, our past episodes, our subscribe links. Everything you need to know is there handily at twit.tv/AAA. That's our show page on the web where you can find everything you need to know about this show. And you can watch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. And congrats, Ron.
Thank you.
Yay!